This is the Standard Podcast, the eye-opening experience for your ears.
สวัสดีครับผมบิ๊กบุญและคุณกำลังฟังคำนี้ดีพอดแคสต์สะสมศัพท์กันวลนิดภาษาอังกฤษแข็งแรงThis is Comedy Featuring. My name is Vic and welcome to the show. I know these days people like watching videos and I'm one of them, but do you still read books sometimes? For me, I love reading and I love books. I love the feeling of getting lost in a great story for hours, nothing else, nobody else, but me, a book in my hand, and that's it. It's amazing and it's a wonderful experience. And I used to make a mistake thinking that only fictions or novels can do that. But actually, I was so wrong. Actually, one book that changed everything for me, the title of the book is เรื่องเล่าจากร่างกาย. So it sounds a lot like biology, right? But I didn't even take biology in school, so why would I want to read this book on my own time, right? Just give me like...suspense or murder mystery or something and I'll be on my way and I'll be so happy because I like to think that I read to entertain myself not to educate because we already do that in school right but actually and eventually I gave in and got a copy you know why because this book was so popularAnd it stayed at number one in all bookstores and all on all the chartsfor weeks and then turned into months. So I was curious to see what the fuss was all about. And I finished this book in one sitting, or maybe not one, but two or three sitting. It was a very big and thick book. But that actually opened my eyes into the world of pop science. I didn't even know the genre existed. And always, always, I wanted to thank the author of this book to change my world of reading.Forever, and I want to thank him for writing such a great book. And lucky for us, because he's the guest on our show today. Let's go talk to him. หมอเอลชัชพลสวัสดีครับ
สวัสดีครับ
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I really want to thank you for writing all of those amazing books that you wrote.
You're welcome.
Yeah, do you still write? Because the last book that you wrote, it was about 4 years ago.
I think it's 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
Quite a long time.
Yeah, you have written like, I think 7 or 8 books.
8 books totally.
A lot. And I think the fans are still hungry for more. So do you have any plans to write new ones?
Yes. I stopped writing for a while because I have a daughter and... I kind of devoted myself to be a father for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, she's 6 years old and she's going to school, so I have free time.
Ah.
I think maybe this year I can launch another book.
Wow. Okay. So is it almost finished or are you still writing it?
Around at what 80, percent? 80 or 90%.
Oh,
so
wow.
I think I can finish it in this year.
I see. So it's going to be a first in...Like 4 or 5 years.
Yes.
Ah, that's so
exciting. For a while. Yes, yeah. I'm excited too.
Okay, we can't wait. All right, so the obvious question for a lot of you who, like me, always call him Mo El. But we all kind of know him as a writer and a podcaster and a YouTuber. But do you still practice as a doctor?
No, I haven't practiced for like maybe over 10 years.
Mm-hmm. So what kind or what field of doctor are you? Were you?
By training, I'm a radiation oncologist. It's a doctor who treats cancer with radiation.
I see. And you haven't practiced for quite a while now. So my question was, maybe a lot of people are curious about this too. If you were to decide to come back like today, can you just come back and practice your medicine?
No, I mean, in practically, it's not a good idea because medicine changes fast and you have to keep updated.
I see.
Maybe like every 6 months, things change. Mm. So if I want to go back, I have to re-educate myself for a while.
I see.
Maybe okay. 1 or 2 years before I can go back.
Okay. If you were going to a party and you met new people and they asked you, what do you do for a living? What would be the answer?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I don't actually, I think... maybe the most closest thing I could say that I'm a writer. Mm. I'm an author, but you know, to be a writer these days is not just about writing. You have to, I mean, there's a lot of way to communicate with the public. So I do podcasts too. I do TikTok, YouTube, and anything.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. So, and then we'll getting back to that, all those, like being a podcaster, being a YouTuber. But right now I want to kind of take you back to your school years. So many, many years back when you were still a student, what kind of student were you?
I'm an average student. My grade is decent. I mean, if you use grade to judge a student, my grade is pretty good, but I'm not the grade A student.
Okay.
In the past.
Because we would assume that anybody who can work as a doctor, they must be great in school.
No, I'm not a good learner. I would say that I can ace the exams. In the past, I think you understand, we are the same generation, right?
Yeah.
In the past, the education emphasized on memorization. Mm. So we do a lot of rote memory.
Yeah.
I learned how to cram out information into my brain before the exam.
And then you ace it?
When we go to the exam room and we like regurgitate all the information. Mm. And when I walked out of the door, I forgot almost everything. So that's not a good way to learn. It's just, you know, memorize and then repeat it.
Uh-huh. So going back, I believe 13 years in 2011, that was the first time that you published your first book, เรื่องเล่าจากร่างกาย.
Oh, yes.
Was that
right? I think it's around 12 or 13 years ago, maybe 14 years ago.
Right.
Quite a long time.
Yeah, and from that point and going even back further back, how did you decide to write a book and maybe steering yourself away from the medicine career?
You know, it's a funny thing. I never have intention to become a writer.
I see.
Uh-huh. When I went to study in the United States, I wanted to be a doctor. I always wanted to be a doctor, and my plan is to be working as a teaching doctor at medical school, teaching medical students. But when in the United States, I kind of like had a chance to read what is called popular science books. And it hit me, you know, when I was in school, I mean, when I was a child, I never read book like this. Mm-hmm. And when I read this book, I really liked it. And I thought that it might be great if I had a chance to read this book when I was a child. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like make a promise to myself when I go back to Thailand, I will write maybe 2 or 3 books with this kind of style.
Yeah. And I remember from one of your interview back then, talking about your first book, that you did a lot of research and it took you like 4 or 5 years to prepare yourself and prepare all the material for you to be able to write your first book.
No, I don't think that's you know, when I read the book, I didn't have no intention to write the book, so I didn't plan to gather materials to write a book. I just read and I enjoy it. But it took me like 2 or 3 years to learn how to write a book.
Oh.
Because I have no idea how to write a book, or I have no idea how to communicate with the public.
Okay.
And I found it very, very, very hard.
Yeah. So all your preparation time was not only for gathering material, but to teach yourself how to write.
Yes, that's amazing.
And how did you do that? How did you teach yourself to write a book?
I read many books that teach how to write creative nonfiction, how to write, what do you call it? It's like write a novel or screenplay. And I watched lots of movies and series to learn how to tell the story.
Ooh.
To learn the technique, right?
Yeah. What was it hard for you? Or when you wrote all those books teaching how to write, did you like, okay, I really got this. And I really had the clear idea how I'm going to write my first book?
No, it's very hard. Sometimes I just like, I think it's too hard for me. And I think, why I have to do this? I can't just be a doctor. You know, sometimes I just gave up.
So for you, writing is even more difficult than being a doctor.
A lot harder. Yes.
Okay.
So it's like you need a different kind of skills, skill sets. It's kind of, you need the art of telling story, the art of writing.
Okay. So after consuming all this content and how-tos and, you know, all the textbook, teaching yourself how to write, what was your next step in putting all your knowledge of writing into a real use? You just wrote your first manuscript?
Yes, I wrote many drafts. I learned that there's a one technique, maybe I can say technique, to write a first draft is to put that, or tell yourself that, write the first draft that is very, very not a good one.
Okay.
คือ เขียน first draft ให้เป็นหนังสือที่แย
่
I don't know how to say it.
So intentionally write the bad first draft.
It's don't expect it to be the good one.
I see.
Just write it. And then after you finish your first draft, you have like something to refine.
I think that's why it's called a draft.
Yes,
because
yes.
It's not a final version. It's not a real book yet, but you have to, and you will have to go through many, many drafts.
Yes.
To get to your final version.
Yes, I did write, I think it's maybe 9 or 10 drafts.
Wow.
Totally.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And the first draft and the final one is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much different.
Yeah, I totally understand the feelings because that happened to me too. So I got to ask, เรื่องเล่าจากร่างกาย, how and when did the idea come to you? And was it hard to decide that this is going to be my first book? Because you must have had a lot of ideas.
Oh, yes.
Right?
I think the first one is I have to learn how to trim or just pick the topic that can entertain the reader or inspire the reader.
Oh.
You know, because when I was a doctor, I mean, when I haven't read or learned about this art of telling story, we tend to think that to communicate with the public is to give a lot of information. But that's not the way you communicate with the public. You have to choose. You have to set a goal first. Do you want to give a lot of information? No, that's a textbook. And to write popular science, the goal is to entertain or maybe inspiring or make people who are not interested in the topic become interested in this topic or become interested in science or medicine.
Okay. And what was your first goal of your first book?
I want to inspire people to feel that, oh, biology and medicine is not something that you have to just memorize. There's a reason behind all things in nature, in biology, in medicine. But if you have to view it from the lens that called evolutionary theory.
Right. And that's what you're super good at. You can tell a story and entertain while educate people at the same time by telling them stories, not just giving them information.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Thank you. That's the plan, because when I read the book and how to write a book, the important thing is you have to tell a good story.
And that has become a theme of on all of your books, I would say, just to trace back into history and find the origin, especially a very interesting ones, and then tell it like you tell a story.
Yes.
Okay.
To tell a story, you have to start with something that, like a movie, you have an opening that hook the people or hook the audience to feel like, oh, I have to read, keep continuing reading. And then you build a plot and start a tension or maybe some mystery things. And then you go to the climax and then conclude the story.
Yeah, that's why you have to watch a lot of movies too.
Yeah, I learned a lot from watching.
To teach yourself to write.
Yes, right.
Oh, okay.
To tell a story.
Right, cool. And I think the thing I like the most about your books is that there's a lot of questions in there that I never thought of asking myself. But when you start asking them, I can look at all these questions and I would go like, oh yeah, why? More important than that is that why haven't I asked myself this question before. But of course, it's something very intriguing. For example, like the one that stick with me the most is one chapter you do tell us or teach us about something that is why a human baby cannot just walk right after they being born, like a lot of like newly born animals. Like we saw the like giraffe or horses, like when they like came out of their mothers, they can just start walking.
Yeah, right away.
But why can't we do that?
Yes.
Yeah. I love that so much.
Okay. Yeah. You want me to answer?
Sure. Please.
You know, to tell a story, you have to, I mean, I will make it short, okay, that the answer is because human evolved to have a big brain, and it's too big to pass through the pelvic canal. So we have to born prematurely before the brain is fully developed. And the brain that has not been fully developed has a problem in controlling movement. So the baby has not refined their movement.
Okay, so it took us, because of the animals doesn't need, like, they don't need, like, bigger brains than from they were born. They would just keep their brain size like that and just continue to live all their lives, right?
Yes.
But we have to grow our brain bigger.
Yes.
Yeah. I see. And the other one that I like so much is that why a handsome man handsome and why a beautiful woman beautiful?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it sounds very simple. And yet we were never thought to find an answer to that.
What I say in the book is, if you look at the nature, when animals chose who it want to mate, they look at the characteristic or...
Like the outside appearance?
Yeah, the appearance. And if you look at the an animal, you will see that, oh, we did that. As a human, we did that too. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason behind it.
Yeah.
Basically, it's about choosing the mate that is healthy. To answer this question, I think it might take like 15 or 20 minutes because it's like you ask, when you ask something, you ask about how to multiply, but you have to understand the basic, how to add, addition, add first. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So we have to talk about theory of evolution and then use that as a foundation to understand a little more.
So basically it's the screening process of the nature.
Yes,
like you have to pick the best like specimen or best mate in order to like continue the best gene for your
for the next generation.
Ah, okay. Like actually you can just go and read all the answers from his book. Actually it's still available in stores and you can actually find the ebook version.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right. So but the thing is the concept of trying to tell the story that is intriguing and that is so like super related to us. So biology in this case from what your first book showed is not something so far away. It's not something that only exists in the textbook, but it's us as a human being. So that's why it's super intriguing and interesting, I guess.
Yes. I think the way I present the information, I try to start with a question that is relatable to everyone. Mm. Like as you said, why human babies cannot walk right away like other animals? Mm. It sounds like a childish question, but I think at one point in time, everyone has this question or asked this question, but we forget when we grow up.
Right. I think there's a reason behind everything, I think.
Yeah,
and if you keep asking why and you keep like researching, you find the answers.
Yes, and it's not just... just to satisfy curiosity. This answer, if you connect the dot, you will have a bigger picture about human. And it makes you understand human behavior. And sometimes it can be practical, it can give you a serious topics. Like, I think today, nowadays, many people learn or know about behavioral economics. Mm. It's something like that. If you connect the picture, just ask the childish question.
Yeah.
Sometimes it gives you a big picture and make you understand the behavior of something that more serious.
It can explain a lot more.
In economics.
Wow. Yeah. That is so cool. So that was your first bestsellers. Actually, all of your books are bestsellers. And I'm so jealous of that. Your first one, เรื่องเล่าจากร่างกาย A Tale from Our Body, right? And then the next one is เหตุผลของธรรมชาติ The reason of the nature. So kind of still keeping the theme of going back and tracing back into the origin and history to explain the science or the biology of humans, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I wrote it 10 years ago. I think I still keep the main theme, using theory of evolution to understand nature. But in that book, I think I talk about the size of human or creatures or other animals and connect things to explain that if you look at things in nature, they have an explanation.
And then the third and the fourth book, you all of a sudden talk about love. But also from a science perspective. So 500 million years of love.
Oh, yes.
Book one and two.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. What inspired you to write about love?
I think before I wrote this book, I listened to the radio before. I think it's February and the Valentine is coming.
Ah, okay.
And I heard that someone said in the radio that love cannot be explained by science.
Ah.
And I said to myself that no, it's...
I disagree.
Yes, there's a field that people studying, scientists studying about love,
mm-hmm.
About behavior, hormones, and lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been going for a while, like 50 or 60 years already. Mm-hmm. So I decided I want to write a small book to explain love by science.
Yeah.
But after I start writing it, it becomes like a brain that, a book that explains how the brains work. Because mm-hmm. if you want to understand how we think, if you want to understand how humans behave, you have to understand the brain. Mm-hmm. So it expands to like two big, thick books.
Yeah, two thick books, actually.
Yes, two thick
books. Book one and book two. So love can too be explained by science.
Yes.
Yeah, and he did it wonderfully. So just go and read those two books. You'll love it, I promise. And then you wrote another book called สงครามที่ไม่มีวันชนะ So the war that can never be won. Basically, you're talking about what?
About human and germs.
Mm.
About evolution. You might say that it's a war between human and germs. Since the dawn of human.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The main theme is this. It's using antibiotics. We think that we have a tools or weapons, which is antibiotic, that can win the war.
Mm.
But things going to keep evolving, mm-hmm. and the germs going to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the theme. But the whole book, I wrote about the history of what we call germ theory, mm-hmm. how we discovered microbes, and how we learned that these microbes, these tiny creatures, can cause mm-hmm. disease, yeah. which at first mm-hmm. Not many people believe it.
Mm-hmm.
How can like small creatures that we cannot see with our naked eye can cause mm-hmm. human this big to die or mm-hmm. to become ill?
Right. Again, it might sound like biology class and it might sound like a headache, but trust me, it's even more fun than watching a movie. Just go read his book. Okay. So, and this is like less than 2 years before COVID.
So it's
super relevant too.
Yes.
All right. And your latest book, which is about 4 years ago, เพื่อนเก่าที่หายสาบสูญ Okay. So what was this book about?
I'm talking about, it's microbiome. Microbiome is a microbes that live in our body and it's benefit human body.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So I wrote about history of, it's kind of opposed to the สงครามที่ไม่มีวันชนะ The สงครามไม่มีวันชนะ I wrote about the history of fighting germs and see germs as a bad guy and we mm-hmm. try to win the germs.
Mm-hmm.
But เพื่อนเก่าที่หายสับสูญเพื่อนเก่า it's mean the เพื่อนเก่า is the microbe that used to be in the human body for like millennia since we migrate from Africa
mm-hmm.
and after we kind of like learn about germ theories we try to win the germs we try mm-hmm. to get rid of the germs we clean everything in our house with antiseptics we use a lot of antibiotics without thinking that it might cause consequences
mm-hmm.
And nowadays, we know that these germs are important to our health. And the consequences, it could be like many diseases that we are facing right now, like allergies, autoimmune disease, even heart disease, diabetes, and other many other diseases, also in, including cancer.
And what is your next book going to be about?
I'm writing a book right now about genetics.
Genetics? Oh,
yeah, it's going to be a story about how we discover about genetics and how it's going to change human technology, human future.
Yeah, and I also know that you are working on another book, which could be a collection of your podcast.
Oh yes,
so about history.
Yeah. I haven't started that project yet, but I'm thinking about write a book about history.
Yeah, I know, because you've got lots of content piling up, and you've got like tons of material that you can just turn into a book. But that's not easy. I know that it's not very easy to just turn everything into like a book. Right. So before we get into your history phase, I wanted to ask for a lot of viewers out there who are maybe watching this episode and got inspired by you that, oh, I've got all this crazy knowledge and something I'm passionate about, and I want to tell a story into, you know, into a form of books or podcasts. Where should they start?
I think... I don't know. For me, I have no idea how to tell the story or how to write a book. So I start with reading or learning, because this is not something that, I mean, for me, it's not something that come naturally. So, and I think it many people had done it before and they made it into a subject. So I kind of learned the theory and applied the theory to my knowledge, to my content.
Yeah. And then I guess you kind of find your own style along the way. Like
yes,
you have to
yes.
really do it, just do it, and then just redoing it until you kind of got...
Or maybe you can just Google like how to tell a story, art of storytelling.
Because that's exactly what you did. You got knowledge from all these how-tos.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay. Just do something. If you want to do it, just do it and find your own way while doing it.
I guess. Many people can just tell the story. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have gift or maybe some experience. I don't know.
Right, right. And I can really relate to you in some aspect, because I used to be a writer too, but you still are. And then at one point, we kind of pivot our way a little into podcasting. And it might started as... you know, like I'm curious about this, and we are both a podcast fans. We listen to podcasts a lot, and then it was like one day we were wondering, oh, maybe I can do this. Was that what happened to you?
I started my podcast during my time when I stopped writing. I mean, I told you that I was I tried to be a full-time dad for a while.
Yeah, so you took a break from writing.
Yes, and. I kind of missed, you know, telling story. And one night after my daughter went to bed, or she went to bed, I kind of like, okay, maybe I should do a story. I should tell some story, and I want to tell that. I think my first podcast is history before I talk about science. I kind of like want to archive the stories that I learned many years ago. And I think that if I don't do it right now, I might forget it in the future. So, and my wife said, if you want to archive or recording this, why don't you just share it to the public? So at first I started very, very easy. You know, I just used my cell phone and just, I talked to the cell phone and then I publish as a podcast.
I think a lot of podcasters started out that way because it was so simple.
Yes.
And it didn't take a lot to start a new show. And it was all free. You didn't have to pay for anything.
Right.
Just use your existing gear and existing device and then just put it online.
Yes, and
I did it
every night. You know, not every night, but when I have a free time.
Right.
I just do it. And sometimes I cannot finish the episode. Like my daughter woke up and she cried and can't stop, and I can come back and then record it.
Yeah, and I was going to ask why history, but when I thought of it again, I was like, of course, because that's what he does. Almost always, you go back in time and try to find something interesting from the origin of things and then just tell the stories. So is that why you love history so much?
That's exactly. I write to know the origin of things. When I was a kid, I always have a question like, how can scientists know about this theory? I mean, it's deep, it's hard, and without technology, how can they came up with this knowledge, you know? But in the textbook or the book that we learned, it didn't explain these kind of things. Mm. So when I grow up and I had chance, I go and read and answer this question. Mm-hmm. After I answered this question, I just want to tell the story to other people who might be interesting.
Okay. So obviously we know your favorite subjects about history is the human part, the evolution part. But is there any like period of our history that you, if you can go back in time, if a time machine existed, that you want to go back in time to this period? Do you have any favorite period in history you want to go back to?
Maybe not period. Any period of time, but I think if I really had a time machine, I might go back into the past and meet some interesting people, like maybe the founder of major religions, like the Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad,
and
you know, it's if you think about it, they are a human being. I hope I don't offend anyone by saying this, but as a human being and with no technology, no internet, no podcast like this, they just preaching, influence people.
Yeah.
And after that, their teaching still exists and also impact a lot of people over the centuries.
It was amazing, right?
Yes, it's amazing. Yeah. How can just one person influence so much people?
Yeah. They must be super intelligent, and there must be something about them that I'm sure you might want to like sit down and pick their brain. Like, tell me, how did you think of these things?
Yeah. It could be nice to have like to meet the real person and maybe just listen their preaching directly.
I thought your answer was gonna be like, I want to go back and meet the first caveman or something like that.
Yo, that sounds interesting too.
Yeah.
You know, if I have a time machine, I'm going to visit so many places.
You're going to use it a lot.
Yes.
Especially for someone who's so passionate about history like yourself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. So your all the podcasts and the episodes about history. Do you have any plan or pattern or anything that you want or theme that you want to like make happen in your YouTube channel? Like, okay, I want to be this kind of history teller, or you just go with your guts?
No, I go with my guts. I mean, and at first it's all like a hobby to me. I just do it in my spare time and I enjoy it. I just share what I'm interested in.
Yeah. So another book that I thing we cannot not talk about is your book about English language.
Oh yes.
And again, you tell a story from the history point of view also. You also again go back and like tell us about how the language was born and progress through time.
The English language.
Yeah, well, what inspired you to write those two books? Which is called "ทำไมเราเลี้ยงพิกแต่ eat pork." So very interesting. Why do we have to separate the two words? Because in Thai, it's "หมู" the same, right? But why pig and pork as a pet or farm animal and something that we eat? And another book is "Hamburger." ทำไมแฮมเบอร์เกอร์จะไม่มีแฮม?
Yes. Yeah.
Super interesting. Also, so what inspired you to write those two books?
I think it's a question that I'm curious when I was a child, you know, when we learned English. I believe that many people feel the same way. There are so many quirky peculiarity things in English.
It's confusing.
Yes,
yeah, like English language.
I remember when I was a child, I'm curious why like the word daughter and laughter, they spell exactly the same. I mean, the only difference is D and L, but
right,
they pronounce differently. Daughter and laughter. Why don't just laughter or
yeah,
laughter?
Yeah, yeah.
And like the word like knee, K N E E, knee cow.
Yeah.
Where's the K sound?
Like, yeah.
Or island, I S L A N D. Why there are so many silent sounds in English?
Right. And also another theme that I found a lot on those of your two books is why this one word have many meanings. For example, general, it could be ทั่วไป and it could be ในพล.
Oh yes.
Or arm, it could be can and it could be weapon, อาวุธด้วย, or something like that. It's confusing. It's
yes,
super confusing.
It's true.
Yeah.
At first, I don't think there's an answer to it. Maybe it's just something in the past.
Yeah.
You forget about it. But when I studied in the United States, or I had a chance to live in London for 2 years because my wife, she went there to do a kind of like research. I found a book that wrote about this, and I learned the word etymology.
Etymology.
Etymology. And at that time, there's no internet yet. Sounds like long time ago. We cannot search this by Google it.
Okay.
And I bought a dictionary that I think it's etymology dictionary something. I bought it 2 or 3 different kind of books like this, and I found a story in it. I kind of like highlight and wrote it in my small notebook.
Yeah.
And the reason I wrote "Thamai Ruling Pig Da Kin Pork" or "Thamai Hamburger Mai Mi Ham" is I talk to someone or I tell someone about this story, and she wanted to read this book, but I cannot find it. So I decided, okay, maybe I can write it by myself. And it took me like just a month to finish the book.
I heard this all the time about a great inventor or a great founder of like huge brands. We always search for something that we want, but when we cannot find any, we just do it ourselves, like make the product or write a book that we want to read ourselves.
Yes,
right?
yes.
Yeah.
That's that.
Wow. Cool. Yeah. So by the way, etymology, คือที่มาของคำใช่ไหมครับ the story behind the original of the origin of the words. Yeah. So it was so much fun. I really encourage you guys to go and read those two books, especially if you're a huge candy fan, because we're all about words. Like on comedy, เราชอบคำอยู่แล้ว, and these two books are like gems. Just trust me and go read them.
Nowadays, it's easy. You just Google it.
Right.
Google with just put the words in and type etymology.
But it's not as fun as reading your book, because again, what we found on the internet mostly is like information. Right, but you tell a story.
Yeah, I try to connect that.
It's so much fun.
Thank you.
I want to read more of those, but well, we all know at this point that he has a lot of interest, and his next book is going to be about genetics,
เกี่ยวกับพันธุกรรม,
and maybe we have to wait for another 1 or 2 books in the future to find out what. If he would want to come back to the history of words again, but in the meantime, just go and read "Thamai Rao Liang Pig Da Kin Pork" แล้วก็ "Thamai Hamburger Mai Mi Ham." It's a lot of fun, like fun read. Okay, all right. So at this point, I was curious to know if you have any favorite word, because I asked this to all my guests that if you have, what is your คำนี้ดีของหมอเอลคือคำว่าอะไรครับ it could be any word at all in English or in Thai
can I choose my daughter's name
of course what is her name
her name is Freya her nickname is Freya
yeah
yes Freya
I bet it has story too
yes the first reason I picked this name because I wanted to be the name that can be pronounced by many language.
Okay.
Because I have that problem. I had that problem before. Uh-huh. My name and my wife's name, it's not easier for foreigner to pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is I like Norse myth. And Freya is a If you remember, she's a mother of Thor.
Thor?
Yes, I think the stepmother of Thor.
I see. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So Freya.
Freya.
For a first name, ที่จริง แต่ชื่อเล่นคือน้องเฟย์
Fei, and you can pronounce it in like Fei in Chinese.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh. Okay. All right. I see. Because yeah, of course, in the future, the world would be even more globalized, I think, because we are used to the idea of globalization, but it's going to be even more in the future, like super global. So can I ask, how old is your daughter
right now? She's six.
Six.
Okay. 6 years old.
So you're a parent of a Generation Alpha. Okay. So do you have any concerns or any ideas of how you can help her grow as a Generation Alpha? Because, well, we all can see what happened with the Gen Z because they are struggling with a lot of changes. And I think it's going to be even more, like even more complicated in the future, and it's going to happen even faster for Generation Alpha. So what do you see a future for her?
That's a tough one. I think it's hard to predict the future. I mean, things change very fast, and with lots of factors come in, it's hard to predict the future. But I think humans are resilient. I mean, people, we have ability to learn a lot. So as a parent, me and my wife, we think that we just, I think the most important thing is, I read a book before. I mean, it's talk about how to raise a child, and the author used analogy as not to be a carpenter, but be a gardener. So if you're a carpenter, you have to do everything. You have to build a chair. You have to do it in every step. But to be a gardener, you just put in the most important factors, like sun, water,
fertilizer.
Yes, and for children,
the right temperature.
Children is the give love, nurture, and maybe like basic education that is important.
Mm. Uh-huh. Just provide them with what they need to grow on their own.
Uh-huh. And she's going to choose her own future. And I think that, as I said, I believe in human resilience. And human can adapt to any change.
Wow.
Maybe that's the answer.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you so much for coming, and I really enjoy our talk today.
Thank you
and
for having me today.
And I can't wait for your next book to come out. So any idea or when it's going to come out? Like what month?
Maybe,
but this year, 2024.
Yeah, in this year.
Okay.
I'm not sure yet.
Okay. All right. So just look out for his next new book. Thank you so much for coming. Come on. สวัสดีครับ.
Thank you very much.
The Standard Podcast. Eye-opening for your ears.